Hey there, everybody, and welcome to episode 24 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. I'm your host, Billy. This week, Dave will not be joining me. He has the week off. He and his lovely fiance, Sarah, are moving into a new house, and we wish them all the best. But Dave will be back next week, and we'll be talking comics with him. I originally was planning on having past guest host Nick Doyle come on and fill in for Dave this week, but technical difficulties on my end prevented that from happening, so it's just me. This might be a shorter episode than normal because I don't have someone to talk to, though those of you who know me know that I could probably just go on talking for hours, especially if no one's there to interrupt me. It's too bad that Nick couldn't join us today because we had a great idea planned for the show. Nick and I are both huge fans of Jack Kirby, and both of us recently bought the Jack Kirby New Gods Artist Edition put out by IDW, which is a completely gorgeous book. If you get a chance to thumb through it at your local store, I highly recommend it. Though one warning, if you thumb through it, you might end up buying it because it's fantastic. It retails for $125, and I can't get over this thing. It's full-size reproductions of Jack Kirby's original art for New Gods. These reproductions are full-color repros of the black and white art, so that way you get to see all of the pencil marks and whiteout and any blue lines that would be there. There's also an acetate spread that you could see like an overlay of a page, and then two full-color foldouts. Gorgeous book. Highly recommend it, Jack Kirby Artist Edition. We're going to get Nick on another episode, though, and he and I are going to talk about that and talk about Kirby in general. This week, though, I'm going to be talking about new comic books that are coming out June 18th. And also, I wanted to thank anyone who's tuning in for the first time. Those of you who I met at Special Edition NYC this past weekend, if you were given a card advertising the site and the podcast, that was me who handed it to you. I know there are a lot of comic book podcasts out there, and I definitely appreciate that you're giving your time to listen to this one. So let's get into new comic books that are coming out on this Wednesday, June 18th. I went through the list of upcoming books and see some that I definitely want to recommend. One of them is the Sandman Overture number 1 cover H, which is the blank variant cover. Now, this is a book that came out months ago. Sandman Overture, I believe, was originally released in November. This is not, I don't think this counts as a second printing, though there is a second printing of Sandman Overture number 1 coming out this week. Rather, this is one of those blank variant covers that you could bring with you to a convention and either pay an artist, or if you can talk your way into a free sketch, get an artist to sketch on it for free. I love these books. I'm such a sucker for them. I keep buying, if a company wants me to buy a book, just put a blank variant cover on it, especially if they include the original cover underneath. I love getting sketches on these things, and I have quite a collection of sketches on blank variants. So I might even buy a bunch of them so that I can get the entire Endless family on a series of Sandman Overture number 1s. And then there are two books from DC coming out this week that a pro recommended. I was talking to Joe Prado while I was at Special Edition NYC, and according to him, if you're going to read two books from DC, they should be Batman Anne, which is Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason's Batman book. It used to be Batman and Robin before Damian died, and now it's Batman and fill in the blank. This month it's Batman and Ra's al Ghul. Joe had nothing but high marks for this book. I agree with him. Peter Tomasi is a great writer, and Patrick Gleason is a terrific artist. The two of them were fantastic on Green Lantern Corps together, and they are continuing being a fantastic team on this book. I'm not caught up on Batman End, but it seems that while there's an ongoing story in it, each issue is self-contained enough that you can enjoy it. The other book that was on the top of Joe Prado's pile, it was Wonder Woman by Brian Azzarello and normally Cliff Chang, but this month Goran Suzuka. I apologize, Goran, for butchering your name there. If you are not reading Wonder Woman, you definitely should. This, in my opinion, is DC's best title. This is the 32nd issue. It is an ongoing storyline. If you're not caught up on Wonder Woman and you haven't checked it out yet, do yourself a favor. Pick up the first trade paperback by Azzarello and Chang this when you go into the store this week. You will not be disappointed. Now, moving on to... moving on to Dynamite. And this is a rarity for me. I don't normally recommend Dynamite books, but I happen to notice that Allison Soane is doing a variant cover for Red Sonja this month. She actually has two variant covers. There's a regular cover, a color cover, and then a black and white variant of the same image. Allison Soane, if you don't know her, is Adam Hughes' very talented wife. I had the pleasure of meeting her at New York Comic Con last year and checking out her work, and it is gorgeous. If you ever get the chance, if Adam Hughes comes to your local convention, besides meeting Adam, who in his own right is a terrific artist and very nice guy too, check out his wife's work. It's fantastic. I don't know if Allison has done covers before, but this is worth a look. This might be her first published work. I'm not positive on that, though. Or, you know, published comic book work, I should say. And then moving over to IDW. IDW is coming out with Star Trek, Harlan Ellison's City on the Edge of Forever, original teleplay number one. This is a limited series similar to Star Wars, the George Lucas draft. The Edge of Forever was a famous Star Trek episode from the original series. I believe Harlan Ellison had his name removed from the credits because he did not like the edits that the Star Trek producers made to the episode. So IDW has gotten a hold of his original script and has made a comic book out of it. J.K. Woodward is doing the art. He did the art for the Star Trek Next Generation Doctor Who crossover that came out a few years ago. Dave and I have talked about the art in that series before. It was a little hit or miss. Some of the faces looked off. And in general, I think fully painted television comics can be a hard thing to master. But what I've seen of J.K. Woodward's work is that it has been steadily improving. So I'm definitely going to at least give the first issue of this a try. Now, speaking of variant covers, as I was before, another blank variant cover coming out this week is The Manhattan Projects number 21 by Jonathan Hickman and Ryan Brown. If you are a fan of that series, you might want to grab that one. It costs no more than the regular cover. And you get a cool little area for your favorite artist to do a sketch next time you're at a convention. Like I said, I'm kind of addicted to that. Also out from Image is Sex Criminals number 6. I love this series. And if you have not read Sex Criminals, do yourself a favor, go out and pick up the first trade. It is very funny. The art is great. The basic concept is, don't worry, you know, this is not a comic about, like, pedophiles or rapists. What it is it's a comic book about two bank robbers who have the power to stop time, but only when they're having intercourse. So they will go into a bank, have sex with each other, and then rob the place. And besides being wanted by the law, they've had to deal with almost like the Time Variance Authority, if you're a superhero comics fan, coming after them because they are messing with the time stream by using these powers, you know, for their semi-evil, you know, for their selfish gain, I should say. So yeah, check that out. Sex Criminals number 6. I believe it's the start of a new storyline. The first trade paperback is out and it covers 1 through 5, which you can pick up that and issue 6 and you will most likely enjoy it. Okay, now let's move on to Marvel Comics. I'm a big Marvel Comics fan, and coming out this week is Original Sin number 4. Guys, did you read Original Sin number 3? All right, spoiler alert, if you did not read Original Sin 1 through 3 yet, turn off your podcast or just skip ahead for the next minute. That's what I'm going to be talking about here. Oh my God, I can't believe Original Sin number 3. Angela is Thor and Loki's sister. I wanted to talk to this about this with Dave on the podcast last week. Unfortunately, he was not caught up on the series. I was shocked when Marvel bought Angela, who was originally a Spawn villain, from Neil Gaiman, who had won the rights to her because he had co-created her, and then brought her into the 616 universe. And now we are finding out that Thor and Loki have a sister, and that sister is Angela. This should be very, very interesting. I don't think Original Sin number 4 is going to touch on that. There is going to be a separate mini-series deal, or maybe a crossover dealing with Thor, Loki, and their newly discovered sister, Angela. But I'm actually really looking forward to reading that. And also coming out this week, Silver Surfer number 3. If you are not reading this series, you're doing yourself a disservice. If you are a Doctor Who fan not reading this series, you are doing yourself a tremendous disservice, because this is, without a doubt, the best Doctor Who comic on the market right now. Dan Slott is a huge Silver Surfer. Dan Slott is a huge Doctor Who fan. It definitely comes through in his writing. He writes the Doctor. He writes the Silver Surfer almost like the Doctor. And this isn't depressed, navel-gazing Silver Surfer. This is Silver Surfer having fun. When I was at Special Edition NYC this week, I went to the Marvel Unlimited Plus subscribers panel. And at that panel, they talked about the creation of the new Silver Surfer series. It was either there or it was at Mike Allred's panel that he did with Kurt Busiek. Basically, what happened was Dan Slott, there was a Marvel editor, I guess this is probably at Mike Allred's panel because he'd be the one telling the story. There was a Marvel retreat, editorial retreat with writers, and people were pitching different ideas, and it came time for people to pitch the Silver Surfer. And none of the ideas really wowed Tom Brevoort, Axel Alonso, but Tom Brevoort was there as well. Because it was all more depressed Silver Surfer, very navel-gazing Silver Surfer. And when they took a break at the retreat, Dan Slott gave his pitch to Tom Brevoort, saying that he wanted to do Silver Surfer, but like a happy Silver Surfer. And when he described the series to Tom Brevoort said, "That I want to edit this series." And he asked Dan who he had in mind as an artist, and then suggested to Dan Mike Allred. And Dan basically said, "You've now ruined this book for any other artist in my mind." And they went out and asked Mike Allred, and he came on board. And the first two issues of this book have been fantastic. It is unlike any Silver Surfer book we've experienced in the past. It's dealing with all new problems and villains. We even have a great new supporting character who's almost like a doctor's companion. The Silver Surfer does not know her, but apparently she is very important to him, as we found out in the first two issues. Though he and we are both not sure why. And that kind of brings me to the end of new comics coming out this week. I don't think I circled any others. Now, I did have a chance to talk to a bunch of comic book fans while I was at Special Edition NYC, and many of them recommended the new Elektra series, which is written by Hayden Blackman with art by Mike Del Mundo. I had the chance to meet Mike Del Mundo at Special Edition NYC. He did an awesome Spider-Man head sketch for me. And looking at his art in the Elektra books, it looks really, really cool. I think I might have to hunt down the first couple of issues of this series and give it a read. And then we also have a new issue of Daredevil by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. That is easily one of the best titles being put out there right now. So that brings me to all the new comics that are coming out this week and all my recommendations. So if you're heading to the store, I definitely recommend at least giving those books a look. You know, pick them up off the rack if you can, thumb through them, and you might go home with a new series that you end up loving. As for comics to recommend that came out this past week, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to read any comics this week. I was so busy with Special Edition NYC stuff, and the weekend is usually when I catch up on my comics reading that I just didn't get a chance to read any comics that came out last week. I did receive Miracle Man Volume 1, A Dream of Flying, in the mail, and I started reading that. I read the first issue of Miracle Man Volume 1. It's so far so good. It's great. I definitely recommend buying this trade, or this hardcover actually. It retails for 30. As of the time of this recording, Amazon is selling it for only $14.99. That's half price. It's better than any deal I saw on it at Special Edition NYC. And the other book that I read was at Special Edition NYC. I was able to pick up the first trade of the Brian Wood Star Wars series. I've heard nothing but good things about this series, and unfortunately, I missed out on the first issue. So I figured when I saw this available for half price, I jumped at it. I've read the first couple issues of that. Now, here's the thing. I am a huge Star Wars fan, and I have to say, this book is awesome. It takes place shortly after the Death Star is destroyed at the end of the original Star Wars movie. This book is great. I wish I'd gotten on it from the beginning. I definitely am going to pick up the trades. I'm wondering how the production schedule is going to work out, because I know that Dark Horse is reaching the end of its multi-decade license of Star Wars. Now that Marvel and Star Wars are both owned by Disney, Star Wars will be published by Marvel for the first time since, I don't know, like 1988 or 1989. I'm not sure when the last Marvel comic, Star Wars comic, came out, but that license is returning to Marvel. Unfortunately, this Brian Wood series is going to come to an end. I'm hoping that Dark Horse's license allows them to collect every issue of this series, because I would really love to just have this all in trades on my bookshelf. If the rest of the series is as enjoyable as I'm enjoying the series right now, I think I'm going to end up rereading it the way that I rewatch the Star Wars movies. That, like I said, I am a huge Star Wars fan. Since we got some time and I've pretty much gone over the regular segments of the podcast, I thought I'd talk about Special Edition NYC, which I went to both days, Saturday and Sunday, this weekend at the Javits Center. It's put on by the same people who put on New York Comic Con. There was one huge difference, though. It's only comic book focused. No video games, no anime, no manga. This is, just comic books. Comic book dealers were there. There things related to comic books, like statues and toys. All the guests were comic book artists and writers there and editors. There were no, wrestling stars or former stars there, no TV people. This was the perfect comic book convention. This reminded me of a large-scale version of the comic book convention that my high school used to put on in upstate New York, when I was growing up. It was perfect. It wasn't too crowded. Unlike New York Comic Con, which often you'll find yourself squeezed in between many people, and unfortunately, many people who have that stereotype of smelling like the stereotypical comic book fan. This weekend was great. The aisles were wide. It wasn't too crowded. Sunday especially wasn't crowded at all. I think it's because it occurred on the same day as Father's Day, which kept a lot of people away. If you get it, if Reed Pop decides to put this convention on next year, you need to go to this, because it was seriously perfect. There are plenty of artists on hand. I got to. And because it wasn't too crowded, you got to actually interact with the artists, and you could have like extensive conversations with them. I had great conversations with Joe Prado, Kyle Higgins, Franco, Jerry Ordway. Jerry Ordway did this awesome Clark Kent changing into Superman sketch for me on the cover of a blank variant Justice League comic. I'm definitely going to be posting this on the site. Jerry was super nice. He basically gave up his Father's Day to, come and interact with fans. This was his first time sketching in years, he said. And he did awesome sketches. If you ever get a chance to get a sketch from Jerry Ordway, I'd definitely recommend it. I can tell you right now, Dave, when he hears about this, is going to be very jealous that I have a Superman sketch by Jerry Ordway. So Dave, if you're listening to this right now, sorry. I also got a couple of sketches from Franco. He did a really cool Green Arrow and Hawkeye in an arrow off or a bow off. I don't know what the proper phrase is, but Green Arrow is getting ready to shoot Hawkeye with a punching glove arrow, a boxing glove arrow, and Hawkeye is getting ready to shoot Green Arrow with a cupcake arrow, which has to be like the best arrow ever. I would love for someone to shoot a cupcake arrow at me. And Franco also did a awesome sketch of the Watcher on the cover of Original Sin number 1. I got the blank variant for that. He sketched a dead Watcher on the cover of that comic, which was just hilarious. And I got an amazing sketch of Spider-Man by Marcio Takara, who's one of my favorite artists. If you ever get a chance to meet him at a convention, definitely check out his table. He does these awesome ink wash sketches, but you have to get those in advance. He doesn't do ink wash at the show. It is worth the money because they are just gorgeous. I cannot wait to frame this Spider-Man sketch and put it on my wall because it is fantastic looking. And if you check out my Instagram account, which is at Impossibility, you can see these sketches there, but I'll also have them up at TuesdayNightMovies.com. As for the panels, the Marvel Unlimited Plus panel was very informative. It made me very excited for Spider-Man 2099, number 1, which is coming out in early July, written by Peter David. I forget who's doing the art. I think it's William Sliney. I don't know his name. Unfortunately, I apologize about that, but his art is amazing. He was super nice. I got to talk to him for a little bit, and sadly do not remember his name. But it looks really cool. It picks up right where Miguel O'Hara, who's Spider-Man 2099, right where his story ended in Superior Spider-Man. He's now trapped in the present-day Marvel Universe, and he has the chance to set this evil Alchemex Corporation right as it's being formed. It's a cool concept. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Peter David, if you don't know, was the co-creator of Spider-Man 2099 and the writer of the original series. So it's awesome to have him back on the book. Now, I get it. Sometimes when a creator comes back to a series that he's been away from for a long time, he's not able to really capture that magic again. But from what I've seen about the preview pages for this, it looks like Peter David has captured the magic for this series. And I personally can't wait. This and Rocket Raccoon are going to be my two new series recommendations for next month. And also in the Marvel Unlimited Plus panel, what was cool about it at New York City Comic Con is they gave us so much free stuff. They gave us like an exclusive print, a variant cover comic, the acetate cover of Wolverine Origin number 2, Wolverine Origin 2 number 1, months before the comic came out. So I think I was just set up for a bit of a letdown this time. So all we got was a variant cover comic. It was a Spider-Man comic, which makes me happy. But I just felt like there was more of a buildup that we were going to get some more free stuff. And I'm just a sucker for free stuff, especially if it's free exclusive stuff that you can't get anywhere else. But the Marvel Unlimited app is definitely great. I highly recommend signing up for it. And if you do sign up for it, sign up for the Plus version. Because besides these panels that they have at the major conventions, they also mail Plus members some cool bonus items throughout the year. Like, I got a postcard advertising Original Sin, long before the actual official advertisements for Original Sin came out. It was just the Watcher's Chalk outline. It said, coming soon. Which, you know, was a little bit like, okay, wait, what is this? And then they've also sent us Avengers and X-Men posters. It's a cool thing. And if the raised cost, because I believe the cost for the year on the regular memberships either 40 or 60. I think it might be 60. The Plus membership's 100. But here's the thing. You get a variant cover comic. Right now it's Age of Ultron number 10 with an exclusive Salvador La Roca cover. You also get an exclusive Marvel Legends 6-inch action figure right now. It's a gold variant of Ultron, from Age of Ultron. I ended up selling my gold variant Ultron and closing the gap in price between the Plus membership and the regular membership. I recommend you guys doing that too. That way you get all the benefits of Plus, but you don't have to actually end up shelling out extra money. The best panel that I went to at New York Comic Con was the creator-owned comics versus corporate-owned comics. And in my preview of this panel before Special Edition NYC, I said this should just be called Kurt Busiek talking about Astro City and Mike Allred talking about Mad Men, because it would get so many more people in this panel. And that's basically what the panel was. They also talked about their corporate gigs, and it was a funny juxtaposition because Kurt Busiek started off as basically a corporate guy. He came up through Marvel's ranks, writing, I think his first big book was Thunderbolts, and then he had that long run on the Avengers with George Perez and Avengers Forever with Carlos Pacheco. And then he went and now pretty much only does creator-owned stuff. He has Astro City, which is now being published by Vertigo. It started off at Image, then went to Wildstorm, but then Wildstorm got absorbed by regular DC, and so now it's getting published by Vertigo. Mike Allred, on the other hand, came up through his creator-owned book Madman, which is originally published by, I believe, Tundra. And he's now since gone on to currently working on Silver Surfer for Marvel and doing a line of Batman 1966 style covers for DC. And while still continuing to work on his creator-owned stuff. So it's just interesting to see how, like, they both started at opposite ends of the spectrum and now have, like, crossed in the other direction, where Mike Allred is doing now a lot of corporate stuff and Kurt Busiek is doing a lot of creator-owned stuff. It was interesting hearing them talk about the benefits of self-publishing, how in the age that we live in now, you don't have to worry about, going to Kinko's and printing this stuff out. They recommended that if you have a story to tell, you should get a blog and start your own web comic. And that way, you'll build up an audience. And the way Kurt Busiek puts it is that quality will rise to the top. Mike Allred had some cool anecdotes, especially about the Madman film license, which is currently being optioned by Robert Rodriguez. It was originally optioned by Universal Studios. And they never made the movie. While it was being optioned by Universal, Mike asked Robert if he would be interested in making the movie, and Robert was definitely interested, but didn't want to work with Universal. So he said to Mike, "Listen, if the option runs out and you don't make the movie, I will pick up the option." And he has picked up the option since then, which I think was like the mid-90s. It was around the time that Desperado came out. Mike Allred pointed out that he's made more money from the Mad Men movie not being made because of the option renewals than if Universal had made the movie in the early 90s. And if Universal had made the movie in the early 90s, it probably would not have been very good, like looking at the state of comic book movies from around that time. Now, what else did they say? Michael Ard, very happy being at Image. The way he put it is that if you're going to put out your own book, you should see if Image can put it out, because they take care of a lot of the day-to-day business stuff and dealing with printers and dealing with distribution. And plus, then you're in that front Image part of the Diamond catalog instead of being the back with all the other indie publishers. He had nothing but nice things to say about Image. After that panel ended, I actually ended up walking down the hallway talking with Mike and his lovely wife Laura, and they were just praising being at Image the entire time and completely loved it. So that was basically Special Edition NYC in a nutshell. There were not every publisher was there. Marvel had a presence. They had artists doing free sketches at their booth, which was awesome. I got to get a Wolverine, an awesome Wolverine head sketch from Nick Bradshaw, the former artist of Wolverine and the X-Men and current artist of Guardians of the Galaxy, and a really cool Spider-Man head sketch from Mike Del Mundo. It was great getting like awesome sketches from these guys who would normally charge money for it. So That was fun. Both Valiant and Archie Comics also had booths, and there were some indie publishers there. Unfortunately, DC Comics was not represented. I think that is because they just picked up and moved from New York to Burbank recently. So they did not have a presence. They had a presence in that there was a Batman panel and a coming soon from DC Comics panel. So that was cool. But they didn't have a booth. And I was surprised that Marvel didn't exploit that more. Marvel had a small booth, a booth nonetheless, but a small booth with, you know, giveaways and stuff. I feel like this was Marvel's chance to say, like, Marvel Comics is New York City, and New York City is comic books. This is the, we are the city that is traditionally associated with comic book companies, and this was their way to really put their stamp on New York City being their town. And I feel like they maybe dropped the ball a little bit there. Like, they, don't get me wrong, the Marvel booth was a lot of fun. The staff there was great. It was very orderly. The giveaways were nice. The artists couldn't have been nicer when dealing with fans. I really feel like Marvel, if they wanted to, really could have, like, just stuck it to DC. And I wouldn't have mind seeing that. No offense to DC, of course, or to anybody who works for DC or is a fan of DC Comics. I like DC Comics too. I'm just surprised Marvel didn't take this opportunity to do that. So I guess that's it for this week's episode. It actually went a little longer than last week's episode. I guess Dave really has just been holding me back. Just kidding. Reining me in is probably a better term, because I just have, like, diarrhea of the mouth, especially when I'm talking about comic books. I could go on forever, but I think now's a good time to end it. Please join us next week when Dave will be back on the podcast. We'll have our normal back and forth. We'll talk about comics coming out that week, and we're going to really catch up on comics, because it'll be 2 weeks between Dave and I talking to each other. He's been so busy moving. I've been so busy with other stuff. We haven't even talked to each other outside of this podcast. So it should be, next week's episode should be a great episode. Not that this one wasn't, and I appreciate that you listened to it. Thank you, everybody, and I will be back next week with the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. Bye-bye.